For today, featuring the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of the Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues his message, Nero and Paul, as we pick up in Luke chapter 21, verse 13. And now, with today's study, here's Pastor Chuck.
Paul was taken before Nero. There is nothing in the biblical account that tells us what Paul said. But as we study secular history, it would seem that Nero wasn't too bad a fellow. He was actually very anxious to leave his mark upon Rome and to build some monuments in Rome. His castle is a great monument in itself that has been uncovered recently. But Nero wasn't really too awful a fellow until he met this fellow Paul the Apostle. The first time that Paul was imprisoned in Rome, he had his opportunity. You remember when he was before Festus, he appealed to Caesar. And so he was sent to Rome, placed there in prison, where he wrote his Philippian epistle. And he had his chance to go before Nero. Now, you think that the witness he laid on Agrippa was heavy. You can be sure that Paul thought, man, if I can convert this pagan to Christianity, what that would do. And I'm sure that Paul laid on Nero a witness second to none in the history of the church. Secular history records this dramatic personality change of Nero right after the time that Paul laid the witness on him. It was at that same period of time in history that Nero went through a drastic personality change and became a beast. He burned Rome because he wanted to rebuild a new glorious Rome for his credit. And then he blamed the Christians for it. But he became almost a man possessed, insane. I feel that, personally, that he became demon-possessed after Paul's witness and his rejection of Paul's witness. I believe that he opened his heart and life to demon possession. And I believe that the things that he did can only be ascribed to a man possessed by an evil spirit. But up until that time of Paul's witness, he wasn't that bad of a fellow, historically. So Jesus said, now don't worry about it. It's going to give you a chance to witness. And Paul took that chance every time he got it. And he said, don't make up a little speech in advance in your own heart, what you're going to say. Well, now I'm going to say this and that and the other. But he said, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Now don't worry about what you're going to say, because I'll give you the words in that time. And you can wipe them out. And you will be betrayed both by your parents and your brothers and your kinfolk and your friends. And some of you, they will cause you to be put to death. Fox's Book of Martyrs relates to us that sad portion of the history of the church. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. They may kill your body, but after that they have no power. And in your patience, possess ye your souls. What an important bit of instruction. In patience. God help us. We're so impatient when it comes to the things of God. In your patience, possess ye your souls. God, give me patience. And when you will see Jerusalem encircled with armies, which happened within 40 years, then know that the desolation is near. Let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let them that are in the countries enter in thereto. For these are the days of vengeance. Rome is going to take out her vengeance upon the rebellion, and all of the things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to those that are nursing in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and they will be led away captive to all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So in 70 AD, when Titus came with the Roman troops and besieged Jerusalem, killed 1,100,000 Jews, carried away the remaining 97,000 as captive, Israel ceased to be a nation. They were carried away captive into all nations, and the prophecy of Jesus was fulfilled. And Jerusalem from that day had been trodden down by the Gentiles until June of 1967. Now, as I understand prophecy, in June of 1967, the time of the Gentiles came to an end. You say, well, what are we in now? Just a space gap. I believe that the Lord is going to begin a very special work with the nation of Israel very soon. There is a seven-year period of prophecy that has not yet been fulfilled. Daniel's 70th week, and that seven-year period of God's Spirit upon the nation of Israel and dealing with them, and their restoration must come. That period has not yet begun. But in 1967, for all practical purposes, when Jerusalem became again the territory of the nation of Israel, when they drove out the Jordanian troops and they took the city of Jerusalem, at that point, according to the words of Jesus, Jerusalem shall be trodden down by the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Since that time, it's just been a short period of God's grace giving others that opportunity to become a part of God's kingdom before he gathers his church together unto himself. So we're just living in a period of God's extended grace to man. But even as God said in the time of Noah, my spirit will not always strive with man. I believe that God's striving with men has just about come to an end. The time of the Gentiles fulfilled. And now Jesus goes ahead to give signs of his return. And he said, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. Signs in the heavens. We know that the comet known as Halley's Comet will be returning into our area of the solar system. And with the advent of the return of Halley's Comet, there's been a lot of writing in the astronomy magazines and a lot of speculation about asteroids and about comets and the possibilities of a comet or an asteroid striking the Earth. And it is interesting that a large part of the physical makeup of comets is cyanide. And it is also interesting that in the book of Revelation, he saw a star fall from heaven and strike the Earth. That is the, and all of the fresh waters became bitter. They were called wormwood because they were bitter. It sounds like it could almost be a comet striking the earth, and that cyanide poisoning the fresh water systems, turning them bitter. The cyanide taste, of course, is a bitter taste. You might pick up the astronomy magazine, I think it was December's issue, it had an interesting article on comets and their makeup. And, of course, a lot of, as I say, because Halley's is returning, there's just a lot of things that you can read now in the astronomy journals and all about asteroids and comets. And there is always that likelihood that an asteroid is going to strike the Earth. In fact, our government is making contingency plans. If there seems to be some threat of a large asteroid striking the Earth, of sending a rocket out with a nuclear warhead to try and explode it in space so that it won't get to the Earth. And these kind of things are things that are being thought of by the scientists. Signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars. On the Earth, there'll be distress of nations with perplexity. That means that the distress of nations is problems that nations will be facing. The word perplexity in the Greek is no way out. Now, the government is searching for a way out. We're going to cut taxes and we're going to, you know, balance the budget. Ha, ha, ha. Government has become burdensome. In fact, government has become so expensive, we can't afford it anymore. And that's the problem that we've hit. There's no way that we can afford government any longer. It's a monster that has just continued to grow, gobbling up everything, until it has grown to such an extent that there are not enough people left to support the government workers. I read a statistic someplace, and this I don't know the accuracy of it, but it said some 49% of the people are on the government payroll some way or other, either through welfare or through jobs that are related to the government. So 51% of the people are productive, and the rest are working for the government, supporting the 49. What are we going to do? What's the answer? There is none. So what shall we do? Well, have heart failure. I thought that this was interesting that it came this week. The sea and the waves roaring. Any of you live at Sunset Beach? Seal Beach? Men's hearts failing them for fear and for the looking after of those things which are coming upon the earth, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. And then, of course, he's describing events of the great tribulation period here. And then, after this great tribulation, shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing close. Now, last October, in one of the shopping malls, towards the end of October, I saw them putting up Christmas decorations. And I said, well, Thanksgiving must be getting close. Why? Because I know that Thanksgiving comes before Christmas. And if they're putting up Christmas decorations and Thanksgiving hasn't come yet, then Thanksgiving must be getting close. Because it's got to come before Christmas. Now, Jesus is giving you signs of his return. Signs that will happen before his second coming. But if the rapture of the church is to precede the second coming by 7 years, then when we see the signs of the coming of the Lord, we have to say, hey, the rapture must be getting close. I see the signs of the Lord's return that makes the rapture that much closer. So, when you see these things beginning to come to pass, then you look up and lift up your head, for your redemption is drawing nigh. And he spake to them a parable, behold, the fig tree and all of the trees. When they now shoot forth, and you see and you know of your own selves that summer is now near at hand. And Jesus is basically saying the same thing. You see the trees start to blossom out and leaf out. You say, oh, summer must be getting close because I see the trees leafing out. I see the blossoms. Summer must be getting close. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all is fulfilled. Now heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We have the solid word of Christ. Now even as Jerusalem was destroyed and not one stone was left standing upon another, and the Jews were decimated and the remainder were made slaves throughout the earth, and Jerusalem went under the hand of the Gentiles, just as all of that was fulfilled, you can be sure that Jesus is coming again. The rest of the prophecies will be fulfilled. God didn't bring it along this far to drop it now. We are moving towards the end. The whole system is moving towards this climax. The return of Jesus Christ in power and glory. But when we see the signs of that return, we know that our redemption is so close. And Jesus affirms, he said, now look, heaven and earth will pass away, but not my words. So, take heed to yourselves. Now this is a message for you. Take heed, be careful, lest at any time your hearts are overcharged with surfeiting, drunkenness, partying, the cares of this life, and that day overtake you unaware. There is a party spirit in the world today. Be careful you're not caught up in it, and that day of the Lord catch you by surprise. Be careful of these things. Jesus warned you that these things are going to be like a trap for men. Drunkenness, surfeiting, gourmet type of eating, cares of this life. So that day is coming on you unaware. For as a snare, as a trap, shall it come upon all of them that dwell upon the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore. The Lord's command to his church to watch and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things. All what things? These things of God's judgment that will be coming to pass upon the earth, as there are the signs and the sun and the moon and the stars and the heavens shaken and the earthquakes and the pestilences and famines. Pray that you'll be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Now, in the book of Revelation chapter 5, John saw a scroll in the right hand of him who was sitting upon the throne, sealed with seven seals, and it had writing both within and without. And he heard an angel proclaim with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to take the scroll and loose the seals?" And when no one was found worthy in heaven or earth, John began to sob convulsively until the elders said, "Don't sob, John. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah hath prevailed to take the scroll and loose the seals." And I turned and I saw him as a lamb that had been slaughtered. And he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat upon the throne. And when he did, the 24 elders came forth with their golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they offered them before the throne of God. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy is the Lamb to take the scroll and to loose the seals. For he was slain, but he has redeemed us by his blood out of every nation and tribe and kindred and tongue and people. And he has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign with him upon the earth." Listen to the lyric of the song in heaven. Worthy is the Lamb, he was slain, he has redeemed us by his blood. Out of all of the nations, tribes, tongues, and people. Made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign with him upon the earth. These are those who are standing before the Son of Man. And the great tribulation does not begin until the beginning of chapter 6. And when he loosed the first seal, the angel said unto me, "Come," and I saw a white horse coming forth upon the earth, conquering and to conquer with his rider. And begins the great tribulation period when? After the book is opened. But while the book is there in the right hand of the Father, and when Jesus steps forth to take it, that glorious song of the church, "Worthy is the Lamb," sung by those who are standing before the Son of Man. Jesus is saying, look, you pray always, watch and pray always that you'll be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that are going to be happening upon the earth, that you'll be standing before the Son of Man. It is my prayer and anticipation that I will be accounted worthy to be standing with the company of God's redeemed saints in heaven, singing of the worthiness of the Lamb to take the title deed to the earth and to lay claim to it. I want to be standing before the Son of Man. I surely do not want to be down here on this earth when God's wrath is poured out, as Jesus has described a portion of it here, but you find the full description in Revelation chapter 6 through 18. And in the daytime, that's the end of the message. Now in the daytime, he was teaching in the temple, and in night he went out and stayed at the mount, which is called the Mount of Olives. So he crossed the Kidron Valley and went up into the Mount of Olives in the evening. And all of the people came early in the morning to him in the temple to hear him. So there was a popular movement towards Jesus by the common people as the chief priests and the scribes and the elders were plotting his death.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Luke on our next broadcast as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. This message has been provided to you by the generous supporters of the Word for Today. For additional information about how you can support this ministry, please visit us online at thewordfortoday.org, where you can order a physical copy of today's message by mentioning Luke 21. There you'll also find free message downloads from Pastor Chuck, as well as links to our podcast and other resources to help you grow in your Christian walk. For those of you who wish to call, our number is 1-800-272-9673. Our office hours are 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. Join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Father, as we look around the world in which we live, and as we look at your word, and as we see these things beginning to come to pass, we see the nation of Israel existing once again. We see the city of Jerusalem under the control of the nation of Israel. And we see the distress of nations and the perplexities. We see the nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, the increased earthquakes, these pestilences and famines. O Lord, help us that we will be accounted worthy to escape all of these things that are going to come to pass. O God, we want to stand in that heavenly throng around the throne of God, proclaiming the worthiness of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who died for us, who redeemed us by his blood, and has made us unto our God kings and priests. Thank you, Jesus, for that redemption that we have tonight. O Lord, may we be worthy to be in that throng. In Jesus' name, amen.
The Word for Today resource, The Best of Kay Smith, is a flash drive filled with Bible studies from Kay Smith. Kay had a special place in her heart to teach and encourage women to live for Jesus and to please God in their everyday activities. This 8-gigabyte flash drive includes 93 audio messages of some of Kay's most cherished messages to women. These studies will refresh your heart and inspire you to love God more and to be an example of Christ to others. Here's how some women have expressed how they've been impacted by Kay Smith. Her teachings encouraged me to want more of Jesus. I fell in love with Jesus in a deeper way through her teaching. I'm your host, Kathy Parrish. Thanks for listening.
Little country church on the edge of town. People coming every day from miles around, for meetings and for Sunday school. And it's very plain to see, it's not the way.
This program program is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.